Good morning, and welcome each of you to the Lord's house as we begin our service of worship here this morning. Please take a moment, as always, to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle, and then pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. And please read inside your bulletins for upcoming events. There's a Bible study this Wednesday, and next Sunday, November 7th, is Blanket Sunday. Also, please notice the Thanksgiving tree up front here just below the organ on your left. We invite you to pick a leaf or two or three and then return the items listed on that leaf next Sunday. This helps provide food for Thanksgiving meals for those in need. There are also notes in the bulletin about Operation Christmas Child and the warmth tree. And also, we're taking names, so to speak, for poinsettias to adorn a sanctuary during the Advent season. Yes, we're already talking about the Advent season. Please see that information in the bulletin as well. As of today, we will not be sharing the physical emblems of the Lord's Supper during our service, and there's an offering tray on the table in the center of the foyer area to place your financial contributions toward the stewardship of Berry Christian Church. We still believe that the mask mandate will expire November 4th, that would be this week, and that the City Council has voted to not extend it once again yet. Keyword yet. We are hoping to see something a little more official in the news or in writing in the next few days before getting our hopes up too much higher. And we will, of course, keep you updated. Next Sunday, November 6th, will be my favorite day of the year. That's when we get to set our clocks back 1 hour for an extra hour of sleep as we move from daylight savings time into Central Standard Time in preparation for the winter months. Please don't forget to set your clocks before you go to bed Saturday. Otherwise, you'll arrive at church 1 hour earlier than the rest of us. And Kathy would like to share a few words with us about some upcoming growth of our children's and family ministries. Kathy.
Good morning. Happy Halloween. This is it. This is our last week doing things the way we've been doing them. Next week, we're switching over. We'll have, during our 11 o'clock church, we will be having our youth worship period. We're dividing. We're going to have an actual older kids Sunday school again. So those of us who have done this and are very familiar with our children and their families know where the kids are supposed to go, who they're allowed to go with. But we ask that anybody else please come downstairs and pick up your children, because we're going to have a lot of volunteers who don't know everybody. And we just want to make sure your kids are safe and get home with mom, dad, grandma, somebody they're supposed to be with. So we hope that we hope it goes well. We're praying for a good outcome. We would appreciate prayers from the congregation. Jim will be doing the youth worship time. He will be doing a service from the same message that Pastor Dennis is. So the whole family is going to be getting the same message. It's going to be on a different level. So thank you, all of you who have volunteered, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Kathy. And now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship this morning. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. Be strong, be courageous, all you that hope in the Lord. I invite you to join in singing number 90, Come Christians, Join to Sing, all stanzas.
Come Christians, join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ we bring, Alleluia, Amen. Let all we and voice, before his throne rejoice. Praise we with grateful choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. Christ is our guide and friend, on whom we can depend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, his goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Loving God, we once again give profound thanks for the privilege to gather in person in your house this morning. We are grateful for the comfort of our place of worship and the fellowship of a strong and caring church family. We also celebrate our children's and youth ministries, our music ministry, and our teachings. As we begin our worship together this morning, we seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. Well, kiddos, come on up front here for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. That looks good. What's this? What have I got here? A map. This is actually a road map. And all of those lines, see all those lines? Those are all different roads. There's a lot of roads. That's only the big roads. Have you ever been in a car with mom and dad and they go, "Ugh, I missed my turn. I should have turned there." Yes. Two of my grandchildren have a nickname for their mother. She's called the U-turn queen because she's constantly missing a turn, so she's got to turn around and go back. Boy, that's easy to do, isn't it? Suddenly, there's your road. It's like, there it goes. Okay, bye. So you got to go down there, and you got to turn around, or you got to go down and find a gas station and get in there and turn around. Oh, it's such a mess. Well, we're going to talk a little bit again about the 23rd Psalm. Do you remember what that is? How about if I say it's the Shepherd's Psalm? Does that help? What's the one that goes, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Yeah. And it talks about the Lord being the one who will guide us everywhere. He'll guide us through our life. We won't have to make any wrong turns as long as we listen to God, listen to Jesus, and go where he tells us to do. Because God is the best GPS there is. I am telling you. He works much better than my car GPS. It takes me some wacky directions sometimes. God never does that. God will never take you down the wrong road. He'll never lead you in the wrong way. All you got to do is listen, huh? Yeah. Yeah. She agrees. She grinned. So, shall we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being our constant guide and always leading us down the right path. Help us to listen and follow when you give us directions. Help us all to have a good and safe evening tonight. And help us to remember to just pray. We need to pray. That's how you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. As we're privileged to go before God in prayer today, we certainly want to continue to remember Debbie Buzinski as she continues to be at North Kansas City Hospital and continues to be in rehabilitation. Rick Parvin was over at the St. Luke's here on Berry Road a few days this week, but he is now at the Linden Woods Rehabilitation Center. So we certainly keep Rick in prayer this new week. We want to celebrate that Lauren or Kirby was able to go home this past week, and so we're certainly delighted about that, as we also lift up Helen as she is still going to be anticipating that heart bypass and aortic valve surgery coming up, possibly sometime here in November, coming right before us. Jerry Donahue is continuing his dialysis treatments and is on that KU kidney transplant list, so we keep him and Betty in prayer. John Adams and Larry Pettis continuing treatments for lung cancer. We also are mindful of Susan Cox's great nephews, William and Kristen Tucker of Butler, Missouri. They are both at the KU Medical Center. They have significant facial and hand burns from an exploding gas water heater on Friday of this past week. So please keep William and Kristen in prayer. We lift up Ernest Lyons as he is also in rehabilitation. Katie Turner's 18-year-old cousin, Anoki, whom we've been lifting up, He, again, has significant brain injury from that motorcycle accident, but is making steady progress. And so we're hoping that's going to be working in his favor as the days progress. Certainly other people we've been remembering for quite some time as well, but may we also bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and gracious God, we are privileged to gather in your house to offer you praise and celebration this Lord's Day. As we focus our attention on the 23rd Psalm, we are comforted by the images in which King David envisions you being the shepherd who diligently cares for his flock. Truly, your spiritual and material provisions make it possible for us to experience calm and assurance despite the trials we may face in our earthly existence. Whether we look up to the heavens or even as our eyes scan the breadth of your creation here on earth, we are constantly aware of your great presence and providence over the affairs of humanity and the world. We are humbled by the truth that we humans do indeed portray many of the traits similar to a flock of sheep. We find ourselves fearful, often even of the mundane and familiar. We butt heads with one another over that which is most trivial in your sight. We rush off in panic at the slightest hint of discomfort, and we resist the direction of your spirit that your spirit wishes to give us. Yet through it all, even as the good shepherd does indeed diligently and consistently care for his flock, so also is your watchful care ever with us, if we will only look in your direction and draw near to your presence. In humility, O God, may we draw near to your safety, guidance, and strength. For as you declare through the prophet in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In thanksgiving and praise, we offer this prayer as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our community reflection this morning focuses our attention from scriptures that reveal God as our shepherd as we begin our exploration of the 23rd Psalm. The text tells us, God will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Christ our Lord, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, will be our shepherd. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Our hymn of contemplation this morning as we remain seated, number 93, praise him, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Praise him, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
You this morning as we do begin this series of messages about the 23rd Psalm is simply the first and the second verses of the text. We certainly know it, most of us certainly by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we are grateful for the privilege to once again be in your house, to be empowered by the blessing of your Spirit, and to know with great confidence that you indeed are the shepherd, and it is your desire to care for us in so many ways. For this assurance, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. So surely it is the case that most of us do know these verses of the 23rd Psalm as we focus today on those first two verses. You know, we think we might separate them and do just the first verse and then maybe the second, but actually the two really belong together, and I often have wondered why people that put together, that broke down the text in verses, didn't just leave all that together, because it all belongs together as we declare, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Yet, do we really understand the nuances that a former shepherd like King David would have meant as he carefully chose every word in the creation of this very precious psalm? And would the words that he would emphasize be the words that we find ourselves emphasizing? As we attempt to associate ourselves with the images of the 23rd Psalm, it is likely that the depth of our connectedness is rather sparse concerning the experiences of Palestine in biblical times. Our associations, for example, with animals likely relate more to domestic animals, like dogs and cats, or maybe even the kind of animals we've had on ranches, horses and cattle maybe, or maybe, just maybe, a handful of goats or sheep, but likely only a handful, not a full flock. Yet beginning with today's sermon, let us take a closer look at the 23rd Psalm and let us strive to truly comprehend the depth of meaning that is behind these words. So first, that first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, when I used to recite this verse in church as a young child, I would get fumbled up by the King James Version, just like many other people probably have, because we forget about the semicolon. And again, the King James English kind of fumbles us up. And we say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right? Now, as a child sitting in church, I would hear that, or I would say that along with everybody else, and the first thought that would come to my mind is, why would I not want God to be my shepherd? Right? Anybody else guilty of thinking that way? Am I the only one? The rest of you just want to raise your hand. Right? I bet you thought about that as a child. Why would I not want God to be my shepherd? But if we remember the semicolon and use clearer English words, we understand that what we are doing in this first verse of the 23rd Psalm is that we are affirming that our Lord God is indeed our shepherd. And a flood of images fall into our consciousness as we comprehend all that it means to have a loving, compassionate, and diligent shepherd God caring for us. And in that second portion of this verse, we recognize that because God is indeed the shepherd who diligently cares for us, we want for nothing. But an even closer understanding of the language that is here, we look closer at the Hebrew, what we understand is it's not just a matter of having our needs met. It is a matter of having profound contentment, because God does indeed care for our every conceived need. And despite all the trials and tribulations that the Apostle Paul experienced in life, because of his spiritual connectedness with God, he was able to truly declare this level of commitment. We read about this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. As the apostle states, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him," meaning Christ, "who gives me strength." In other words, Paul was saying, "I have profound contentment in my life because I am so deeply connected with Christ." And so he knew that all things spiritual superseded any of the nitpicky things that we may plod through in our earthly existence. Thus, in verse 1 of Psalm 23, we can declare this: God is our shepherd. We are content because God provides our every important need. Now, in the second verse of the Psalm, what King David does is he illustrates how God makes provision for every need for the sheep. Beginning with the first portion of the verse, he declares, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, I imagine when you say that or read it, the first image that comes to your mind is what? Green pastures. Am I correct? You know, I think that's probably rather natural for us in our Western world, because we have a tendency to think about green pastures like some New England or Northern European image. That's kind of our mindset. It's kind of our point of orientation. But in fact, sheep actually thrive better in drier, more arid climates, like the Middle East, like Palestine, because the lower humidity makes for fewer pests and diseases for animals like sheep. One of the reasons why sheep are such a plentiful image of the Bible. The emphasis of this first portion of Psalm 23, verse 2, actually is not green pastures for King David. The emphasis is upon lying down. Because what we must understand is that four important needs have to be met for sheep to feel comfortable enough to actually lay down in any kind of place, whether it's a rocky hillside, whether it is a lush, tall field of whatever kind of grass we grow around here, or any place. There are four criteria that must be met for sheep to feel comfortable enough to lie down. First of all, they must be free of any form of fear. Secondly, they must be free from friction among themselves. Thirdly, they must be free from discomfort caused by flies, fleas, and other parasites. And fourthly, they must be free from hunger. And what is significant about all four of these traits is that sheep don't solve any of these threats by themselves or by their own devices. And in fact, that human beings also don't deal with similar threats all by themselves is the reason why in the Bible we often see so many comparisons of humanity with sheep of the flock. But let us take a closer look at each of these four fears. Sheep, by their very nature, are timid and fearful. Even the jumping of a nearby rabbit can cause an entire flock to run off in dreadful fear of their lives. Playful dogs can chase sheep around so much that the terror the sheep is experiencing through the running can cause pregnant ewes to abort their unborn lambs and even cause the ewe's death, even if the dog just thinks the dog is playing. We humans often find ourselves fearful of even that which we are imagining may go wrong with our lives, even when things are actually pretty steady and going okay. Fear paralyzes us and drives us often to destructive behaviors. The shepherd's diligent, watchful presence calms the sheep, and our knowledge of God's watchful presence in our lives can also calm our fears, whether they are real or imagined. Secondly, sheep, led by their own devices, will fight among themselves just like a bunch of kids. Just like chickens have a pecking order, cattle have what's called a horning order, sheep have among themselves a budding order. And most every flock is usually ruled by a domineering old ewe, who, if left to her own devices, will butt and chase other ewes or lambs away from the best grasses. And in fact, some old ewes are even known to pester contented lambs simply to remind those lambs of who is really boss. I mean, in other words, even if nothing is going wrong, even if there's no problem here, the old ewe will just get up and puff up and go butt the lamb that's lying down there just minding his own business. Sounds like school playgrounds, doesn't it? Sounds like the nonsense that youth and adults experience on the internet nowadays, right? And the discipline of the cranky old ewes for their poor behavior is the responsibility of who? Not another ewe. It's the responsibility of the shepherd. And what is really interesting is that even the presence of the shepherd among his sheep in the flock will keep the old contrary ewe at bay, because even she realizes who's really the boss. And who is it? The shepherd. Like old ewes, many humans are always pestering others, trying to be one up on everyone else. Even the apostles fought among themselves about who was going to be first in the kingdom, even though they had spent so much time with our loving Lord Jesus. Yet it was Christ himself who reminded them who is to be first and who is to be last. Third, sheep left unattended are plagued by flies, fleas, and parasites. It is the constant diligence of the good shepherd who watches for any signs of discomfort caused by bugs and parasites. And it is only the shepherd who can offer the salve, the sheep dip, or other means to keep such critters at bay. Sheep can't do that on their own. They just suffer through it. We humans, we know what it is like to be bugged to death by the trials and tribulations that life throws our way. Yet there are many worries and fears that we can't solve ourselves. We must be humble and put ourselves before our Creator, believing that He will certainly offer the salve of the Spirit's guidance and comfort. Fourthly, sheep without a shepherd will wander aimlessly for food, and in the wandering just wear themselves out. Good pasture lands in arid countries don't come by happenchance. They are the result of good planting, watering, fertilizing, and sound management. And when such pastures are cultivated, good shepherds are diligent in the task of directing their flocks to such fields at the most appropriate time for that field in the year, and also have the wisdom, just like cattle ranchers, to take the animals off that particular pasture at a certain time to make sure that the pasture is not overgrazed. And God has given us the lush pastures of this great planet Earth we live on. And He gives us the wisdom and sound judgment to use it and distribute its wealth wisely. For He does not wish any of His children to face poverty, and certainly not starvation. Yes, freedom from fear, friction, pestilence, and hunger. God does want us to be comforted enough to lie down, you see, in the greenest of pastures. The third point of emphasis this morning is that second part of verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Water is scarce in Palestine, and for shepherds and the sheep, water is usually accessible from two sources. Water is drawn from the ground by a well and poured into troughs from which the sheep can drink. Or water comes from the trickle of shallow streams in what are still called today in the Arabic language, wadis. Wadis are the low-lying areas formed by the erosion of water over centuries. On typical days in which there is usually little more than a trickle of water flowing through them, think of miniature examples of the Grand Canyon, where you have to traverse through rough terrain to get to the flowing water source at the lowest point. Like the Grand Canyon, though, also, rains falling in the higher elevations above the wadis of Palestine can quickly result in a wall of rushing water that can overtake a shepherd and his sheep, quickly killing both the shepherd and the sheep. And the shepherd, watering his flock in the low wadis, thus is always diligent, looking at the skies for storms in the highlands and listening for the potential of rushing water that could destroy his flock. Additionally, because sheep are such timid creatures,
that fear even the sound of moving water, and because they are so top heavy, and because wet wool can cause them to drown even in the shallowest of waterways, sheep can never be taken to fast moving or deep bodies of water, such as a lake or a river. It is little wonder that King David, as the psalmist, is saying that God, as our loving shepherd, leads us to still waters. So, from what we've learned this morning, possibly a clearer way of experiencing the first two verses of the 23rd Psalm are now available to us. God is our shepherd. We are content because God provides our every need, because our God's calm guidance, we lie down in green pastures and we drink from calm waters. Doesn't this image of a loving shepherd God give you peace and assurance? I hope it does, as I hope you can also declare Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ as your Savior if you've not already done so. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 78. And this is a new hymn for us, by the way, because I keep track of all the hymns we've ever sung in one of our hymn books, and we have never sung this in the 6.5 years I've been here. But I feel like this hymn is so appropriate for our study of the 23rd Psalm. Let us stand and sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd," 78, all stanzas, please.
My shepherd I'll not want. God makes me down to lie in pastures green, and leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul thou dost restore again, and me to walk dost make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for thine own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's deep veil, yet I will fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost anoint with oil, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be.
Being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, a reminder,
Saturday night, remember, change your clocks. Fall back so you can be here at worship and Sunday school at the time you want to be, right? Bless you guys. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us as we journey through the day, and may we find comfort knowing that you are indeed the shepherd who cares for his flock. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.